We're going to read you a verse of scripture, and we're going to believe God's going to help us. It's found in Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. I'm going to have it up here, and you can read that. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them, and they were washing their nets. And there entered into one of the ships, and he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now, when he had left speaking, Jesus was done speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I can feel the sarcasm coming through. Simon knew what he was doing. Simon had worked all hard. But nevertheless, just to please the master, we're going to show you that we can't catch any fish. I will let down the net. And when they were done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake, and they beckoned unto their partners. And you helped me out there. They beckoned unto their partners that they should come, which were in the other ship, they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me. I am a sinful man, O Lord. Try it again. There we go. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Now, Lord, you know what's coming. And, Lord, you know what you have put on my heart. And you know, God, the hearts of this, your people. And you know, God, what you've been talking to them about. God, I'm praying that the power and the anointing and the dominion of the power of God will be stressed and stretched out in this house tonight, and that we will accept, God, what you're trying to do in us and for us and with us. That, God, tonight, that we would no longer walk around just in our own expertise, but we will make room for the power of God to operate every single day in our life, on the job, in the home, and we'll be careful to praise you and give you all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Put your hands together one more time. Turn around to someone and said, tell him this. He's going to preach to me. I'm not preaching. Anybody's not here. So don't think, oh, that's for somebody else. I'm here. I'm targeting you. Praise God. Hallelujah. You can be seated. Have you ever, you've known what to do and you're smart about it and you've got it all figured out, and yet did work. I had such a situation years ago. I had bought a 1972 Blue Vega. Does anybody remember those cars? I paid $14.50 for it. It had 45,000 miles on it, and I thought this was fantastic. I paid cash, took it out of my savings, and I drove it for 2 weeks. And the transmission fell out. Had to have a transmission. That's $679. And I thought, it's getting close where I should have bought that brand new car. You know, why in the world didn't I do that? And then I think the people that designed that car, I don't know that I've ever seen one of those on the road ever again as a Vega. I just never seen it. But I think they were on crack cocaine when the engineers designed it, because they did a terrible job. They put an aluminum block in the engine, and then they put a timing belt instead of a timing chain. And you guessed it, my timing belt messed up. Now, timing chains have they don't mess up as much as timing belts. And so, you know, my future father-in-law, I don't think we were married yet, but he was going to help me. Tim, I'm going to help you. So we pull it into his yard, and he is great when it comes to mechanics. He's smart as can be. And we work, and we work, and we work. Get in and try it. I got so sick of trying to turn that motor over. Nothing we did help. In comes his little brother, Uncle Kenny, as we call him. He come in there, and he just barely looked under that motor, and he said, move this here, move that there, and move this here. I could tell my father-in-law was a little bit, you think you know more than me? You think you got it? Well, reluctantly, Verlin Dilly moved this here, moved that there, and moved this here. And he said, try it again. He didn't believe it was going to start. I got in there. I didn't believe it was going to start. I was ready to call the crushers and get rid of that 1972 Vega. I got in there and boom. How in the world did that work? Let me tell you one more. I'm going to preach tonight. I was teaching a Bible study to David and Ann Clark. They'd been involved in drugs, and they'd been involved in witchcraft and all the other things that you can just imagine. They had a vacuum cleaner shop that they ran, and I'll save you all the details, but one day it was a holiday, and I stopped by just to check on him and invite him to come back to church. And there David was, GD this and GD that. He said, I've had all kinds of people in here today, and I have this oil filter that I need to get off of my car. I've tried everything. I know how to do this. He got the right oil wrench. Oil filter wrench. You know what those things look like. I try to stay away from them because I have my oil changed by somebody else now. And he moved it. He said, I got so mad at that, I just pushed a screwdriver through it and tried to turn it, and that thing won't move. Here's the old preacher. Why don't you try asking God to help you? You've been cursing that thing. GD this. And you know what? You're telling God to curse that. Well, he looked at me like I was a one-eyed cyclops. I don't see where that could. You could just see his mind working. That's stupid. I've been working on this all day long. Nevertheless, at thy word. And so he went out there reluctantly, and, you know, he's strutting. He stands about this. And then this old sawed-off preacher, he's like, I'm going to show him. And he goes up there, puts his hand on it. And he looks back at me. Sometimes we need to have a nevertheless moment. Sometimes We have tried everything. We don't know what else to do, and we're wondering how in the world is this going to make it. But we're experts, and we know what we're doing. It just isn't working and doing what we think it should do. And then we despite all reason, God comes. Maybe you walk into the house of God and you've been troubled with what do I need to do and what do I, how am I going to get this fixed? And there's a something that comes across the pulpit that seems so simple that seems not to have 1 ounce of reason to what you're facing.
All right.
Nevertheless. I like that word. Say it with me. Nevertheless, we're going beyond reasoning. We're convinced some things are impossible, but we're going to do them because the Word of God told us to do it.
Yes, yes, yes.
We got Brother Peter. I lost control. It's not working. So I maybe can do it without it. Keep it going. We got Brother Peter. He's back there. He tried everything. Now, he was a fisherman. Now, I'm not. And I don't want to be. I think that's the cruelest thing that you could do to Pastor Milby is take me on a fishing expedition because I want to go and move. And here you are just throwing that thing out. I hate it. I tried to take my kids when they were younger and then tried to take my grandkids and they're all grown up. They can go fishing themselves. I'm not going anymore. But that wasn't Peter. Peter knew what he was doing. He had the expertise in this. This is what he did for a living. And he tried and he'd worked and he tried and he worked. And the Bible said when Jesus got there, they had hung it up. They had come to grips. We're defeated today. Nothing's going to change that. And they were there and they were washing their nets. It's over. Here Jesus saw him and said, folks, I want to use one of your boats for a pulpit. Push it out there in the water. I got to preach to these people and they're too crowded around me and I can't do that. Just push it out in the water. So he did, push it out in the water. And Jesus is preaching. I imagine Peter's over there. Can we get this done? I'm tired. I want to go home. I've been up all night. Could you make it quick? Kind of like we do on Sunday morning or maybe even Sunday night. Like we're here right now. Peter got done preaching, and he said, Peter, take that boat out into the deep.
Yeah.
Wait a minute, I've already washed the nets. I've brought everything in. We've quit. We've tried everything. We're experts. We know what we're doing, and anything we've ever done hasn't got any results. Take it out there, Peter, and then launch your net for a draught. I'd like to have been a fly on the wall. I'd like to have more cognitive awareness in the fly, but I'd like to have been able to see Peter disgustedly, you know, as kids do under their breath. Maybe as some saints do under their breath after we've scalded them from the pulpit. We don't ever do that. We toiled all night. I've done everything I know to do, and I know how to do it.
Yes.
Nevertheless, I'm just going to show you, God, that there ain't any fish out there today. And so I'm going to just, at your word, because you said it, I'm going to put it down. Can I tell you today that there's some of us in this place that need to have a nevertheless moment? You need to forget how schooled you are. You need to forget that you know how to do this and it's not going right and it's not working. You need to just take God at His word and follow His word and do what He told you to do. You read the verses of Scripture as I read them to you because they, nevertheless, according to your word, they got blessed. Are we missing out on blessings? Are we missing out on victories? Are we missing out on revivals? Are we missing out on the glory of God coming down? Nevertheless, at thy word. Let me bring you to somebody else. Just take me to the next one. I'm going to read this to you. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went into the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said to him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were open, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. Saul was schooled. Saul was a smart dude. Saul had education in the religion of the Jews. They had a Talmud that was a commentary on the first five books of the Bible that they so meticulously wrote, and it was what they thought. And then they had a Mishnah, which would, if we'd stack the books from here to here, it would reach the ceiling. Saul knew all that. Saul was an expert when it came to religiosity. And God was asking him, lay all that down. Get rid of all that. Throw it all away. I know what you're coming to Damascus to do, but I'm telling you, you're not going to do what you came to do. I don't care how many letters you got from every university. If you don't have what thus saith the word of God burning up in your spirit, then you don't have much. Nevertheless, he had an encounter with the King of Kings. Can I say this? Sometimes we come to church. We know how to do church. I'm old. I've been on the organ. Matter of fact, I played this very organ for a few years. And you folks got it from us. I know how to make a squeal. I can play the piano. And I think I can preach. Jury's still out on that. Sometimes we know. We're smart. We're apostolic. And there's sometimes I have to admit to you that we come to church and it doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. And why doesn't it happen? I don't want to be accusatory of anybody here. In the church I pastor, song service. I'm over here cranking the organ, putting everything I got and sweating, and we got some bad people there. chewing their cud. I go to them sometimes and said, you can't sing with that junk in your mouth. Get rid of it. Go spit it out. Most of the time they'll swallow it. What about nevertheless God? What about his word? What would happen? And this used to happen all the time. Not all the time, but more frequent than not. We'd have church. We'd have a move of God. The power of God would be coming. People would be dancing on the floor. And then guess what? The Holy Ghost would move so much that the preacher wouldn't get a preach. And people start getting the Holy Ghost. People start feeling the presence of God. And we didn't have it. And I know it sounds terrible. We had a great service and we didn't have any preaching. Is it okay if God decides to speak a word? Isn't it okay if God says, do this? My God, help us. My God, help us. It's his church. He bought it with his own blood. It's not our church. It's not your church. It's not my church. Can God speak a word to us and let his power just come here and there and everywhere? With all his training, Saul embraced the nevertheless moment. And look what happened. How many thousands of souls and churches were started because God was allowed to mess up his plans. I don't know how many times I've been in service, maybe special speaker. I remember one time, I mean, they said I was going to be there, and they pumped me up and blah, 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 blah. And the Holy Ghost had a different idea. Yes. You know, we need to, is this okay? We need to learn to operate in the Spirit of God. We need to learn to understand, nevertheless, when God speaks, I had a daughter, still do. She turned about 14, and she became retarded. I think that happens to teenagers. You must know. We had some trouble in the church that I pastor, and we had come there after a bad situation, and we were the next people in line, and the people were upset, and the people were mad, and they did treat me less than civil. I was there to do what God wanted me to do, and she saw that. In her little delicate mind, she said, we're getting treated like this because my dad's a preacher. I hate you know what I wanted to do? She'd come to the altar. She'd look at people. They'd talk to her. She'd turn her face the other way. You know what I really wanted to do? I wanted to take that little face of her and slap it into the next universe. I'm preacher here. I wanted to take her home and let her know who was boss. And God said, Brother Milby, what you have is greater than that. And I remember going by the middle school one day, and that's where my daughter went, and I looked at all those kids, and I told God, I said, there's a whole bunch of there just like her. And God said, what you have is greater than what they have. So I refrained from the 2x4 and the belt. I refrained from knocking her into the next universe. And I prayed. And I prayed. And I prayed. And I prayed. Nevertheless, at thy word. I didn't want to pray about that. I wanted to take action. But there's some times where we need to let God work, because it's a spiritual thing that's too big for us. And we just need to do what God tells us to do. I don't know who the preacher was. I got contacted by someone that was in Nebraska, and he told me, he said, "Brother Milby, you need to have this preacher." I said, "I don't even know who this preacher is." I remember he had white hair, and he was about a foot taller than me, and he was big. That's all I remember about him. He got up in our pulpit, and he preached the precious blood of Jesus, and he talked about it. And as usual, as normal, I went to the organ toward the end of service, and I played, and we were having altar service, and all of a sudden I felt some arms wrap around me, and I thought, well, somebody's giving me a hug, and that person told me, "Dad, I love you." Nevertheless, at thy word, things change. Harvest comes. Power comes down. And that little girl that had been disillusioned and messed up, you don't get between her and me now. That's my daddy. I'll protect him with my life. You better, but that didn't happen with me doing my own thing. That happened because, nevertheless, the word of God came. I've got a boatload of these things, and I won't keep you forever. We had just come to Arkansas City. And the reason we came to Arkansas City, we'd been in Watertown, South Dakota, and that church was in financial duress and so forth and so on. And we were there, and the Lord helped us. The Lord helped us, and the finances got all straightened up. We were there 6 years, and I believe the Lord called us to Arkansas City. And I told my wife, I said, "We're going to be here 2 years, and we're going to get this financial mess straightened out, and then we're going to go where God wants us, because I'm good with numbers. I'm good with money." They were behind on their missions. Now, when I came to Kansas, spent a lot of money getting here, and I had $1,000 left in my savings. Now, I know that's 38 years ago, but that's it. And I always wanted to have a bumper zone, you know, in case... You know what I'm talking about? In case your car goes out, washer goes out. And the Lord said, "Give that." God? Kind of felt like Peter. "You really know what you're talking about? That's all I got. You own the cattle on 1,000 hills and all the hills too, but all that Brother Milby has is $1,000. And you want me to give that?" And this church is such a mess financially. Nevertheless, I didn't tell my wife because I was afraid she would cut my head off. I transferred the money from our savings account. I didn't write the check. I did it as quietly as I possibly could and transferred it into the church missions account. And God. Nevertheless, at thy word. I didn't see how that would happen. I didn't see how that would help. I didn't see how I would be. But God! Now I want to tell you, you need to listen to his voice. And when his word comes, I don't care how smart you are and how you're able to figure all this out and that out. You just need to listen to what the saith God is doing and do it.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Good.
I got so many. I was telling God one day we needed some cash at the church. I said, Lord, we're short. We need about $5,000. You know, what do you need that much? Well, there's payments that at that time we had to pay, and there's utilities, and then there's that ever hateful thing of insurance. Insurance is very expensive. And yeah. So I told the Lord, and it was in the middle of the afternoon, and I've been talking to the Lord about it. And I went home, and I laid down on my sofa because I was tired, and I was going to take a little nap before I went out and taught more Bible studies in the evening. And the Lord said, there's a store over there that's closing out. It's called Bogart's. It's a grocery store, and they were having a liquidation sale. He said, I want you to go down there, and I want you to offer them $600 for everything they have left. And then I want you to have a grocery garage sale. Mark things down so cheap. And I'm laying there, and you're interrupting my nap, God, to tell me this crazy, bizarre. You know, because some of the things, the Bible says our ways are not his ways, and his ways are not our. You know, some of the things God's telling you to do seem absolutely crazy. So I went down there, Brother Worth, interrupted my nap. And I said, the Lord's told me that I'm supposed to offer you $600 for the rest of this stuff. I didn't believe it happened. I thought it was against all reason. I thought it was one of the most stupid things. And he looked at me like I was a crazy preacher. And he said, we could never do that. So I go home and I said, see, God, I told you it wouldn't work. 2 days later, I get a call from the manager of Bogart's. Preacher, is that deal still on? I said, I don't know. How much have you sold? We might have to lower the price to $400 instead of $600. We made the transaction. We paid the $600. They brought all that stuff to the church. We didn't have to haul anything anywhere. They gave us their pricing equipment, and we priced everything so dirt cheap. We sold, and then we kept some things for the church. When it was all said and done, there you go, Brother Milby. Here's your $5,000. Nevertheless, it don't seem smart. It doesn't seem right. I don't see how in this world it can work out that would happen. But it's time for us to get up. And like Peter, I know I don't see it, but I'm going to go ahead and do it. And we're going to reap the benefits. We're going to see the glory. We're going to see the blessing. We're going to see the miracle. Nevertheless, come on, sister. Come on, brother, you're going to play too? What about you? What's God been talking to you about? What's God put on your heart? What's God put in your mind? Oh, that's so stupid, God. Is it? What have you been just kind of applying your expertise to the Word of God? Now, I'm telling you, You're not smarter than him. No, 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 no. What has God been talking to you about doing in the kingdom of God? I couldn't teach a Bible study. Who says?
Yes.
I couldn't preach a message. I couldn't preach myself out of a cardboard box. But God, but God, but God, when we nevertheless, at thy word. Do you know this is a breathing thing? Do you know this is alive? And when we allow the engrafted word to come into our heart, do you realize the power and the aura of the Holy Ghost that's there? I don't think we know how to be apostolic. I think we might have learned. But I think God wants us to go just a little bit further, and he wants us to see the demonstration. I believe God wants to bring healing back in the church, great healing back in the church. I believe God at his word. When's the last time you spoke to some drug addict, strung out? When's the last time you invited someone that was all tatted up? They didn't look like Christian. No, of course not. They don't know him. Well, I can't go talk to them. I can't identify. Why don't you have a nevertheless moment and go ahead and blab the word of God anyway? Let's stand. Jesus, I'm praying for this congregation. I love these people, and I love their pastor and this Cowan family dearly. I'm praying tonight that, God, there'll be some people that will decide to, well, I don't see it. I don't see how it'll work, but I'm just going to go ahead and do what Jesus said to do, and then we'll see what happens. I'm just imploring you. I'm begging you. I'm challenging you. The word of God is powerful. And when you decide to nevertheless, at your word, it might be somebody on the job that's sick, that doesn't know. Nevertheless, oh God, I can't go pray for them. I can't go pray for them. I'm in the office. I had a girl at work. She was one of our recess aides in the school system. And she told me, she said, I'm going to lose it. She was trying to have another baby. And I prayed in Jesus' name and got a hold of her. I feel like the Lord wanted me to. You said, Brother Milby, that's you. I don't care. Nevertheless, at the word of God, she had a baby. She had another baby the year later, and she told me, since you can quit praying now. Praise God. God wants to use us if we'll get out of the way and walk in the power of the Holy Ghost. There are things that God wants to do right now with you. Pastor, I don't see it. What difference is going to be with me praising the Lord? Oh, God, help us. I had a young man that was taking as much pain medicine as he possibly could take. He had injured his back at the state hospital. He couldn't have. They went to the doctor. I'm still hurting. And the Lord spoke to him in a service, fall down and worship me. I never saw a smile on that dude's face. I was out of town over the weekend. I came in on Wednesday night, and it's a terrible thing, but I asked him, what's the matter with you? He wasn't scrowling. He told me the story. Nevertheless, I've got pain meds. I've got problems in my body. The Lord said, just fall down and worship me. In his home, he fell down and worshiped the presence of God, and boom. Went back to the doctor the next week. Said, Doc, I don't need any more pain meds. I need you to release me to go to work. He's been working ever since. Nevertheless, at thy word, praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Could we say that in our spirit? Could we say that in our life?